The views expressed on AM360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the community-wide Shure Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
You have listened to us over 500,000 times. American Muslim 360.
That's interesting.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Malik Yawm al-Din. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
American Muslim 360 is
too legit, too legit to quit.
We will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum and good morning to everyone. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Again, good morning everyone. This is Edward Ahmed Mitchell, attorney and executive director of CARE Georgia. That is the Georgia chapter of the Council on American Islamic Relations. And I am your host of CARE On Air, the Civil Rights Hour. Thank you for joining us, and thank you to anyone who's who may be listening to this after the fact. I hope everyone enjoyed the holiday season and got to take a bit of a break from work, and that you are back at it, energized, and ready to go, inshallah. This is our first show in, I think, about 3 weeks. We took a holiday break as well, and then last week we had a few cases to deal with, so we took a break then as well, but we are back. And what I'd like to do today, inshallah, is just first to review for anyone who hasn't listened to this show before, you know, the purpose of this show, what we plan to cover, the typical format we plan to have. Then, inshallah, I'd like to talk about some news updates, things that have happened over the past few weeks in the broader Muslim community. Inshallah, then we'll take a break for public service announcements. Then I'd like to conduct an interview. And then we will close up with some final remarks and take any questions from the audience, inshallah. So with that, let me start by first discussing, you know, what we've been missing over the past week, what's been happening. So First and foremost, as you may know, we have sworn in a new Congress up in Washington, D.C. Alhamdulillah, I have the pleasure of traveling to Washington for the swearing-in ceremonies of the new congressmen and women, including our new congressional representatives from Minnesota and Michigan, Representative Ilhan Omar and Representative Rashida Tlaib. We're both sworn in Washington, D.C. last week. It was wonderful to be there. I don't think Congress has ever really looked like that before. You had so many young people, young Palestinians, Arabs, Muslims, Somali Muslims, and people of various faiths and backgrounds who had descended on the Capitol to celebrate, to join in the celebration of this historic moment. As I'm sure you all know, Representative Omar and Representative Tlaib are the first Muslim women elected to Congress. Now, we've had Muslims elected to Congress before. Congressman Keith Ellison was the first Muslim ever elected to Congress back in 2006. Andre Carson, who I believe was elected in 2010 in the state of Indiana, is the second congressman of the Muslim faith elected to serve. Representative Ellison is no longer in Congress. He was elected Attorney General of the state of Minnesota. Representative Carson is still in Congress, so now he is joined by Representative Tlaib and Representative Omar, making a total of three Muslim Americans serving in Congress. This is obviously historic on so many levels, and we think, inshallah, alhamdulillah, a great sign of progress for the American Muslim community to have not only one, not only two, but three representatives in Congress of our faith. It's also important to note that other history was made. Rashida Tlaib is the first Palestinian elected to Congress. Ilhan Omar is the first hijabi, that is the first person to wear a hijab, obviously, elected to Congress, that makes history as well. I think especially for our Palestinian brothers and sisters, this is especially important to them. What our government does has a very significant impact on the plight of the Palestinian people, especially in Congress, and I think it'll be very valuable to have someone who is actually of Palestinian descent, of Palestinian culture, Palestinian family, to be able to bring that perspective to Congress and hopefully to make a positive change on American policy in that region of the world. As for Representative Ilhan Omar, obviously she has served as state representative in Minnesota for the past several years, so she's already got legislative experience. This is just really a sign of progress for her and expanding her ability to serve her constituents in the Minnesota area. I had the pleasure of attending her after party that evening at a hotel just outside of D.C., and it was truly a celebration. So many young people, Somali Americans and others, who were there singing, dancing, enjoying recitation of Quran and networking. It was just great to see, and it's a great sign of progress for the Muslim community, the Somali community, the Palestinian community, and for America at large to have this bit of history made over the past few weeks. With that, obviously, controversy has also erupted, as you may have heard. Representative Tlaib came under some criticism for remarks she made about President Trump. And I think many of us felt that criticism was hypocritical at best. President Trump, as you all know, has not only engaged in profanity, but has spoken of sexually harassing women and made all sorts of other obscene and racist remarks. And yet, that does not get nearly as much condemnation from the political right as Rashida Tlaib's one single remark got from that side of the aisle. Also worth noting that Steve King, a representative from Iowa, just the days ago indicated his support and indifference to criticism of white supremacy. Those comments did not get nearly as much attention as Representative Tlaib's one single remark did. So, we know that when Muslims enter into public life, whether it's as civil rights attorneys, as celebrities, or now as politicians, they are likely to face some criticism to come under fire for reasons legitimate and illegitimate. So I think Representative Tlaib was certainly expecting and is expecting that kind of criticism to continue. But, God willing, inshallah, they are up to the task of representing their faith, their values, and our country well no matter what the naysayers may say. And, of course, we do want our representatives to, of course, use proper language and polite language, but no one is perfect. We all slip up. We all can be passionate, and that is not something that we should be publicly condemning our leaders for. We want to privately and politely give good guidance and correction, but not jump on an opportunistic bandwagon of people trying to tear down our representatives. So that's a bit of what's happened at the national level. Obviously, the shutdown is continuing, the shutdown of the federal government. Thankfully, I'm happy to hear that Muslims and other faith groups have been stepping in to try to provide food and money and other assistance to federal workers who have been forced to work without pay or furloughed over the past 26 days. It is now officially the longest shutdown in the history of government shutdowns. I could say much more about that, but we'll leave it at that. Here in the state of Georgia, our chapter has been handling several different cases of discrimination, but we've also been celebrating some good news here as well. You may not know this, but Georgia has officially inaugurated, I should say sworn in, very first Muslim member of the Georgia State Legislature. We've made some history here in the state of Georgia. Brother Sheikh Rahman is the new state senator for the 5th district here in the state of Georgia. He won a Democratic primary earlier this year. He ousted a Democratic incumbent, which is quite a hard and remarkable thing to do. That district did not have a Republican contestant. So once he won that primary, he was able to win the general election unopposed. That makes him the first Muslim and the first immigrant elected to the Georgia State Legislature. So quite a bit of history. I attended his symbolic swearing-in ceremony yesterday. He swore his oath of office on the Quran in the Georgia State Senate chambers. During that event, there was also an interfaith gathering of speakers. You had a Christian speaker, a Hindu speaker, a Buddhist speaker, a Muslim speaker, a Jewish speaker, all to offer prayers in their various faith traditions for Senator Rahman's success. So great bit of history made down here in the state of Georgia. What I'd like to do is allow you to listen to his victory speech. It's only about 5 minutes long, but I think it'll give you a taste of what that event was like and what he is like as a person. So I'm going to let you listen to his speech about 5 minutes long, then I will rejoin you. And this is Senator Sheikh Rahman speaking at the Georgia State Capitol yesterday afternoon after his symbolic swearing-in ceremony.
I'm really, truly blessed. A lot of folks were blessed today, especially at this moment. I can thank all of you. I can name all of you. It will take longer time. I thank each of you for being here. I could not ask anything more. I could not have. No? It's just, I don't know. I'm like almost like speechless. I'm voiceless. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. I'm going to say a word in Bengali, then I'm going to translate. Amar naam Sheikh Mujahidur Rahman. Amar jonmo Bangladeshe. Ami United States ashi 1981 sone. Ebong ajke ami Georgia senator holam. My name is Sheikh Mujahidur Rahman. I was born in Bangladesh. I came to the United States in 1981, and today I became a Georgia state senator. I'm a proud immigrant, but I'm not an immigrant senator. I'm a proud Muslim, but I'm not a Muslim senator. Like you, I'm a Georgian, and I will be a Georgia senator.
Aye.
My ancestry and my faith has shaped me who I am as the shape that Georgia is. We're a land of immigrants founded by those who sought religious freedom. Our diversity is what makes America great and what makes Georgia great. I'm here to serve this great state of Georgia and represent the residents of 5th District in Gwinnett, the most diverse county in the state, and one of the most diverse state senate districts in the country. I'm here to uphold the Constitution of Georgia and the Constitution of the United States of America. But above all, I'm here to serve you, whoever you are. Doesn't matter what your religion is, or if you don't follow any. It doesn't matter where you or your ancestor came from. It doesn't matter what you look like, what the color of your skin, what language you speak, whatever your sexual orientation is, or which God you believe in. Whichever mosque, church, synagogue, mandir, or temple you attend, I'm ready to serve you. From dishwasher to district manager, from store clerk to business owner, from school dropout to university graduate, from almost homeless to homeowner, from campaign volunteers, campaign worker to Democratic National Committee member, and yes, now I'm a Georgia senator. When you're looking at me, you're looking at the American dream. I want the next generation of Americans to look at me and say, if this guy can make it, then I can definitely make it. And I can also fulfill my American dream. I believe in American dream is still alive, but it is on life support. It's been choked to death by growing income inequality, by lack of access of affordable housing, affordable education, and affordable health care. I and other new senators and state representatives have come to bring fresh air to these chambers and pump new blood into the system so that the next generation of Georgians can rise to the fullest potential just like I did. I ask all of you to pray for all of us who have been elected to serve. Pray for God to give us wisdom and humility to hold tight to our principles, but open our minds to new perspectives. To quote Dr. Martin Luther King, we may have come here on different ships, but we're all in the same boat now. I'm ready to work with my colleagues from both sides of the aisle and our new governor to find common ground and common sense solution to every Georgian. God bless you. God bless Georgia. God bless America.
So that was Senator Sheikh Rahman, State Senator Sheikh Rahman, again, the first Muslim elected to the Georgia State Legislature, the first immigrant elected to the Georgia State Legislature, making a bit of history here in our state in 2018. He was sworn in yesterday. That was his speech after swearing his oath of office in the Quran yesterday in the Georgia State Senate chambers. We look forward to, inshallah, working with him, hopefully on issues of justice and other issues that are important to all communities, not just the Muslim community. I will say, you know, very good speech he gave. I will say that, you know, I think it's important for Muslims never to feel that we have to distance ourselves from our faith. And I don't think he was doing that, but I think that, you know, we should never feel an obligation to note or to say that we are not a Muslim senator or we are not an immigrant senator. The fact is, if you're an immigrant, you are an immigrant, and there's nothing wrong with that. You can be proud of that. If you're a Muslim, you should be proud of that. You are, in fact, a Muslim senator. You are an immigrant senator. But what I think he was getting at is that he's not a senator for only Muslims or for only immigrants. He is everyone's senator in his district. I think that's the message he was trying to deliver, not to distance himself from his identity, but rather just to say, you know, I am not here to represent one group of people. I'm here to represent all people of my district, no matter their race, religion, ethnicity, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The other thing I would note is that, you know, people also often note and mention that the people who came to America came here seeking religious freedom. And that is true to some extent, but many of the people who came here for financial reasons, for an economic pursuit, and did not allow religious freedom for the Native Americans who they oppressed and killed and whose land they stole. So just I think it's important to always keep in mind our indigenous brothers and sisters, they were not granted this benefit of religious freedom that the founders of this nation, this land from Europe supposedly came to pursue. So I'll just put that out there for the record in recognition of our indigenous brothers and sisters. So that is a good bit of history that has happened over the past few weeks. Again, in Washington, D.C., we've sworn in the first two Muslim congresswomen, and here in the state of Georgia, we have our first Muslim state representative. I think, you know, this is very important. When I first joined CARE almost 3 years ago, and I would give speeches about the state of the American Muslim community, I had something I would say over and over again. It was my standard stump speech line, so to speak. I would say the following. I would say Muslims in America are essentially being squeezed between two opposing forces. We've got anti-Muslim bigots on our right, and we've got so-called Muslim extremists on our left. Muslim extremists engage in horrific acts of violence. They use religion to explain it, political grievances to justify it. They call it all Islam. And in doing so, they not only inflict violence upon their victims, but the very reputation of our faith. That makes it harder for us to deliver the message of Islam to our neighbors and harder for Muslims to live comfortably in their own country here in the United States. So they're on one side. On the other side are anti-Muslim bigots who seek to do the exact same thing, who seek to make it impossible for Muslim Americans to live comfortably in their own country and to make it impossible for people to get the message of true Islam, but they do so by engaging in bigotry. They research Islam online for 5 minutes, declare themselves experts. Next thing you know, they're on Fox News ranting about the dangers of Islam and Sharia law and blah, blah, blah. And American Muslims, I would say, are squeezed between these two opposing forces, that we have essentially been fighting an information war against these two opposing groups of people. That's what I would say 3 years ago. I think now our condition is different. Those two groups of people still exist, and it's probably even more complicated than that simplistic division. You've also got issues of foreign policy that play a very big role in how Muslims are viewed here in this country and many other issues that I could go into in great detail, but I won't. I think now, though, we're in a different situation. I think in 2016 and in 2017, to a large extent, Muslims were on defense. That is, we were defending ourselves, defending our right to practice, defending the reputation of our faith, basically, again, playing defense. Now, though, in 2018 and 2019, I think we are now on offense. We are now not defending our right to live as Muslims in America. We are living our lives as Muslims in America and getting involved in the environment around us. I think our newly elected representatives are a sign of that. I think the number of Muslims who ran for office, even unsuccessfully, is a great sign of that. The fact that we are no longer playing defense, we are on offense. We are now trying to lay out apples for our neighbors, not just defend ourselves. And that, by the way, is the history of Islam. Whenever Islam has been successful in a society, it was when Muslims were, you know, getting out there and helping people around them, improving society around them. And through doing that, people saw the beauty of Islam, the beauty of the Muslim community, and became friendly to Muslims or ended up embracing Islam themselves. So I'm very happy to see that we're doing that. I think we are making progress. We are no longer just on defense. We are on offense, making forward progress for our community. As politicians, as civil rights activists, as celebrities, as actors, you've got quite a few actors now who have made it big and are of the Muslim faith. So these are, you know, I think to some extent positive signs for our community. Having said that, as we get more active, as we go on offense, so to speak, as we start not just defending ourselves, but actually getting out there and improving the world around us, we got to make sure that we're doing that in the right way, that we are upholding our values as we do so. You know, you don't want to get elected to office and then pursue policies that completely contradict your values. You don't want to become a celebrity and become a successful actor and then act in movies that completely contradict your values and undermine, in fact, your values. You don't want to become an athlete or anything else and pursue any goal and be successful at it in a way that is displeasing to Allah, that is harmful to the community, that is harmful to your faith-based values. So I think this is a struggle that all Muslims will have to face we'll have to undertake. That is that as we get more involved in different spheres of life in our country, that we make sure to uphold our values as we do so. And I think by and large, the Muslim community is doing that. We're not perfect. We all make mistakes, me included. But I think that I'm very happy to see people like Representative Omar and Tlaib, who I think have that strong grounding in their values and also want to improve and help our neighbors as a result of those values. So with that, those are just some few news updates of things that have happened in the past few weeks. What I'd like to do is we'll take a brief break for public service announcements, and then I'm going to come back and we're going to conduct an interview, and then we will, after that, take that any members of the audience may have. So with that, I think I've got an engineer on the line, brother or sister, assalamu alaikum. I'm going to let you play a few public service announcements for us, and then I will come back after that, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Just checking in. I can't hear any PSAs. Just checking to see if we have our engineer on the line to play any public service announcements. And we will resume right after that, God willing. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. All right, we are going to resume the show. Thank you for the break there. We didn't have any PSAs, but if we have any, I'll allow my engineer to just alert me and break in, and we'll take a pause for those. We've finished the first part of the show. I'd like now to turn to the interview segment. You all have heard from Murtaza Khwaja, our staff attorney. I think a few weeks ago during our first episode, we're happy to have him back with us. Murtaza, are you there?
As-salamu alaykum. Yes, Edward, I'm here. Thank you
for having me. Yes, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, great. So we got Murtaza Khwaja here. And Murtaza, I'm going to let you just introduce yourself again, to anyone who, did not hear the first episode of the show about a month ago. So just tell us a bit about who you are, how you came to be involved in care for those who don't know.
Okay. As-salamu alaykum, everyone. My name is Murtaza Khwaja. I'm the staff attorney with CARE Georgia. I also do lobbying at the state legislature on behalf of CARE. So I started with CARE towards the end of my third year in law school. I was a law student here in Georgia. I've grew up here within the Muslim community in Georgia ever since I was two. And I was connected with CARE through a mutual friend at RCM. And CARE was just starting up in Georgia, at least with actual employees. It existed in Georgia for a few years, but more so it was just a board. And then about in 2016, they hired an executive director, Edward, and began to actually be more active in work. So I came on in 2016 as a legal intern, and then in 2017, I signed on officially when they hired their staff attorney. I was able to fill that role.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Yes, that's great. So, yeah, so Murtaza has been our staff attorney now for a good bit of time, alhamdulillah. So, Murtaza, here in Georgia, we've got our legislative session that just started, and that usually lasts for, 60 days, 90? How long does it usually last, Murtaza, a legislative session?
It's very quick. So, yeah, it's about between 4 to 5 it's between 60 days or a little bit over. So this one we're expecting to go a little bit into April this year. But it's a very compacted legislative session.
Yeah. So unlike in other governments that, maybe have their legislators open throughout the year, here in Georgia, it's, as Murtaza said, very compacted. So all the legislative work is really done within this, 90-day, 60-day period. And then after that, you still have legislators around, but they're not really in session unless something unique comes up and the governor calls them back into session. So obviously the legislative session, very important to all Georgians. This is the time when our state representatives, state senators can, make changes to our laws that impact all of us. We've obviously been very concerned about voting rights issues, immigrant rights issues, free speech issues, and other topics. In the past, one of the main things that Muslims in Georgia had to worry about was anti-Sharia legislation. for about 5 years in a row, someone would introduce legislation in Georgia to try to, quote-unquote, ban Islamic law. Now, of course, as a secular state, the American government, either state or local, does not consider or uphold Islamic or Jewish or Christian law. So it was a silly premise to begin with, but it was an insult to the Muslim community. Someone would introduce that bill just about every year, and thankfully it would be shot down. The reason it was shot down is, number one, obviously it's unconstitutional. You cannot target a religion in that way. Number two, when the legislators would try to broaden it up to ban what they called foreign law, that created an obvious problem. If you want to ban Islamic law and just hurt Muslims, supposedly, okay, fine. If you want to ban Jewish law and just hurt the Jewish community, fine. But when you ban foreign law, what you've done is not only hurt Muslims and Jews and Christians who may, for example, write private marriage contracts, private employment contracts according to the rules of their faith, especially churches and faith-based organizations. You're also hurting businesses who may sign contracts that are based on what? Foreign law. If an American company does this business with a Japanese company, there may be some aspect of that contract that is reflective of Japanese law or that is based on Japanese law or that defers to Japanese law. And so by passing a law saying that the state of Georgia and our courts will not consider foreign law in any circumstances, basically the legislators were setting business groups actually spoke up against this anti-Muslim law over and over again because they knew it would create a problem for their work. And so did Jewish rights organizations as well. So over the past 2 years, that bill has not come up. Alhamdulillah, thank God. I'm not expecting it to come up this year. The one legislator who would be likely to introduce a bill like that, his name was Jason Spencer. He is no longer in office. He resigned last year after he was part of Sacha Baron Cohen's TV show, Who Is America? He was caught on camera as part of that show saying the N-word, engaging in other very inappropriate behavior that there is no need to go into. If you Google Jason Spencer, you can see it for yourself. Having said that, though, we are still concerned, obviously, about other issues, immigrant rights, voting rights issues. So, Mortiz, I want to let you tell us a bit about, you know, what you're going to be on the lookout for in the legislative session, some things you might expect to be working on or things that you might be wary of based on your experiences last year.
Absolutely. I think it'll be a little beneficial to give a little background in the context of this session starting up is we have a new governor and we have a newly elected body. So in the past, Governor Deal was very protective of business and actually pushed forth a lot of progressive agendas that were protective of individual rights to, you know, attract businesses here. Amazon was considering coming here, other big businesses that do business here and having a Super Bowl here. Governor Deal had that in mind and make sure that there weren't things that were discriminatory to any particular race or religion generally. And so he was, for us, actually really good to work with because he led some really good reform, even with bail reform as well, and criminal justice. So we had a pretty good relationship with Governor Deal and was able to block some particularly damaging legislation. Now, in this recent election, we've seen the legislature we've seen more of a purple legislature now, which could be helpful for some minority groups and vulnerable communities, particularly the ones we represent, which are both immigrants and Muslims. But we have a governor now elected who we are unsure of where he's going to stand on certain issues. Governor Kemp now, has a history of being a proponent of business as well. And business bureaus have given him favorable ratings, but during his election, he was pushing for a lot of the rhetoric that is actually more divisive and that would target minority communities and immigrant communities. So it's going to be interesting to see where we lie now because we have a legislature that is more purple, but we have a governor that could be leading more sort of restrictive and or sort of degrading individual rights more so than we've seen in the past or limiting them. So that's going to be interesting to see. So what we're looking out for is sort of how that dynamic works. The Speaker of the House, Ralston, had a very good relationship with Governor Deal. And so we'll see how his relationship with Kemp works, because what bills are put forth and what bills are voted on has a lot to do with Speaker Ralston's decision. So it's going to be interesting to see his dynamic and whether he wants to push forth Governor Kemp's agenda or not. The other thing to see is now it's not an election year. So last year we saw a lot of bills that were clearly not going to get passed, but were being introduced, and we still had to fight against minorities and against immigrants. We had a driver's license bill where you would be identified as either a non-citizen or a citizen. You'd have different, it'd be differently oriented so law enforcement could tell. We had English-only bills introduced. We had other bills requiring local law enforcement to comply with ICE and actually do ICE's work, which was infringement of state rights. So all of these bills were clearly going to be defeated and were luckily defeated, but were being introduced because it was an election year. People wanted to go back to their respective constituents and say, this is something we introduced. Now that it's not an election year, we just had the election, it's going to be interesting to see what bills we see come out. The ones that we're looking for, again, we're keeping an eye out for English-only bills because they come out a lot. The driver's license bills where you have different orientations for citizens and non-citizens, which makes it easier for police to target immigrants and to go after people who are not necessarily citizens and identifies them as such, are bills that we would clearly fight against when we're at the legislature. There are other bills that might be more positive. There's voters' rights were a huge issue in this past election. Registering to vote, access to the polls and whatnot were big issues, and people saw how that unfolded in this recent election. So hopefully we'll make strides there. There's providing more language accessibility at the polls, providing more machines at the polls, making sure there's more standardization at the polls. These things are all things that we're looking to hopefully be introduced and hopefully support in this session. There's a redistricting bill that's up, expecting to come up. So we definitely want to be a part of that and make sure that the ridiculous districts we've seen in gerrymandering we've seen in Georgia doesn't continue. In 2020 is the census, and then 2021 they're going to do redistricting. So to preempt that, you know, we want to make sure that there is legislation to make sure that the districts are reflective of the population that lives there and not reflective of the legislator who is currently in power there. In addition to that, there are other bills that have come out regularly that we expect. Again, 452 last year was the biggest bill that we fought against, which was mandating local governments to do sort of ICE's work, which is a national organization and is an abridgment of state rights. So if anything like that happens again, we look to fight it. But this is sort of what we're looking at for the session. These are the bills, and then also the relationship with Speaker Ralston and the governor's office, and then also the relationship with a more purple-leaning legislature and how that works with Governor Kemp, depending on which way he leans.
You're right. And a big question, thank you, Mr. Morris, and a big question obviously is, Brian Kemp during the campaign, was very hostile to immigrants. He portrayed himself as a right winger, and as far as we know, a far right winger, as far as we know, that really does reflect his true beliefs and policies. And the way he treated voters, especially African-American voters in his capacity as Secretary of State, would indicate that he plans to take a hard line on a lot of these issues. However, it is possible that he may moderate as governor. We've seen that before. People run far to the right to get elected in their Republican primary, or far to the left to win a Democratic primary. And then when they get elected, it's a different story. So we'll see what he is like. But we have to prepare for the worst and hope for the best, God willing. So I think that's a pretty good summary of the different things that we plan to keep an eye out on. The other thing I would note, a bit of news that came out a few days ago, is that a judge has blocked the Trump administration from asking Americans and residents of America about their citizenship status during the census. Obviously, that question was designed, we think, to deter and scare people away from answering census questions, especially people of an immigrant background, and also to try to impact the way that districts are counted in terms of their population. So that has been blocked, so we do not expect that to be an issue, but we'll see what may happen with the court case going forward, God willing. Mortis, the other thing I want to talk about, obviously, is Sapelo Island. That's something that we plan to take up, inshallah. I talked about that, I think, on a program a few weeks ago. This is an island off the coast of Georgia, founded by a freed African slave named Bilali Muhammad back in the 1800s. And the community there after him, his descendants, are still on that island, but their population has been dwindling. Decade after decade after decade, in large part because of the lack of economic opportunities on that island, and also because the county, which controls that island, has refused to provide basic utility, medical, and public safety services to the people on the island. We're talking limited electricity, limited access to water, limited transportation, and limited access to medical care, to the police. To get to the island, it is a boat ride. I think it takes at least 20 minutes, if I recall correctly. And so they have, the community there has been, you know, squeezed very harshly. To make matters worse, you've got tourists who go to the island who want to buy up land, and gradually the gentrification forced this family, these remaining families, off of their land. And then on top of that, you also have families whose young people just leave because they don't see any opportunity on the island. So they leave, they come to the mainland, in many cases do not come back, causing the island's population once again to shrink. So we are going to be hopefully, inshallah, helping to address that issue, given that this is a bit of Muslim history on that island. And obviously very important as a justice matter, that these people have the right to live and to receive the same services that people in the mainland receive. So we are working with the attorney for the family to see what we can do at the legislative level to help them, and we will you know, hopefully make some progress with that during the legislative session, inshallah. So that is will be going on right now. Again, Brian Kemp has been inaugurated as the governor. We have the new representatives, the new senators, including Senator Sheikh Rahman. And so, inshallah, we will see what happens in the coming weeks and months. Mortaza, let me say thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing those thoughts, and I will be in touch with you offline, inshallah.
Thank you so much for having me again, Edward.
All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
So again, that was Mortaza Khwaja, our staff attorney with CARE Georgia, doing a great job for us. Alhamdulillah, may Allah guide him and grant him continued success in his work for us. So with that, it's about 11:46. I'd like to pause now and see if we have any questions from the audience. And again, the way we're going to do this, obviously, because some people may listen in after the fact, if you ever listen to this program after the fact and you want to ask a question that we answer during the following program, just send us an email at info@ga.care.com. That's info@ga.care.com, and then inshallah we will answer your question in the following program. You know, oftentimes we get legal questions. You know, we cannot really give proper legal advice in a format like this. We can certainly share our thoughts and our perspective, but you know, do not take that as ironclad legal advice or guidance. Obviously, you need to sit down and consult with an attorney about your particular case and situation, but we can try to answer questions as best we can and give general thoughts and guidance about various issues. So if anyone has a question, feel free to jump in. I'll let the engineer patch them through. And if not, then inshallah, we'll continue the discussion for 3-4 minutes and then wrap up with any PSAs that we may have. Right, not hearing any questions yet from our engineer. So let me address one thing that has come up repeatedly. Oh, wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. This is Sister Mahatan from New York. Alhamdulillah, from New York. Delightful presentation this morning, listening from the beginning, and then I had an interrupt. But I did want to ask with your announcement about how to email for questions if you can't respond. Would that have to wait until next week? And is there a more expeditious turnaround number that we could have for contact?
Right. So if anyone needs to message us and get in touch immediately, that email address works as well. So, for example, if anyone is, you know, for some reason, you know, needs a question or it's answered urgently, just privately offline, they can email us there. Or even while the show is going, if they want to, you know, text or write a question instead of calling in, they can do that as well. That email address is info at ga www.cair.com. And they can feel free to reach out to us directly that way.
Thank you.
Yes, of course, of course. All right, so the one thing I want to just share before we wrap up is that, you know, I think it's very important for almost, especially the African-American Muslim community, and I know a lot of our listeners are also African-American like me. You know, in our community, we come from mixed faith backgrounds. We, you know, may need to keep that in mind as we consider how to prepare for, you know, the inevitabilities of life, the, you know, the end of life issues, the possibility of health issues down the road. We've had a situation here in Georgia where we've had Muslims who become ill, who become incapacitated, and they did not leave a will or anything behind. And so whenever I do this program, I like to issue that reminder, you know, to please make sure if you are an American Muslim or an American in general, obviously, to fill out a will, to make sure you put in writing what your wishes are, how you want your burial to be handled, how you want your finances to be handled, how you want your affairs to be handled, because what you don't want to happen is to be incapacitated or pass away and leave your family to fight over whether you're going to be buried, how you're going to be buried, and what's going to happen to your finances. If you put in writing that you are a Muslim and you want to be buried as a Muslim and you want your affairs handled as a Muslim, then that can make life much easier for your family, and inshallah, God willing, you'll get reward for making sure that you're taking care of business in that way. That's a very common issue that comes up in the community, especially the African-American Muslim community, given our mixed faith backgrounds oftentimes. So please make sure to address that issue with yourself and your family. Don't let yourself get caught in that sort of situation, may God forbid. With that, that's just one reminder I always want to give at the end of the program. With that, it's about 11:50. If we don't have any questions, then I guess we can close out with public service announcements since we didn't have any of those earlier. But I'll pause one more time to make sure we don't have
any questions.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum
assalam. This is Martha Naila, program manager, American Muslim 360. And I do apologize to you, but I wanted to greet you and welcome you back. And as I was struggling to get a public service announcement is okay for later then, but welcome back, and we dearly
missed you, but
we appreciate your being back with us here and presenting the information that is so dearly needed. But we're here for the PSAs.
Yes, of course. Okay, great, awesome. All right, well, thank you all so much for those of you who listen live or may listen later. And again, if you'd like me to address any particular topic, I mean, there may be a topic you want us to have a show about, you know, feel free to suggest to me, and then maybe we can do a show about a topic that you want us to cover, inshallah. Again, that email address is info@ga.cair.com. And inshallah, we will speak to you next Wednesday at 11 a.m., inshallah. Thank you, everyone. Assalamu alaikum. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Introducing the CWSC cloning program, where we combine just the right DNA to create expertise on demand right in the laboratory. Need an accountant or food bank specialist to help you design that community outreach program? Or maybe you need an IT specialist to help you with your website? Whatever the need, the CWSC cloning program does not exist. If we want expertise, it's going to take you and me inside the MCNRD, the Model Communities National Resource Directory. Visit CWSC.us today, because we are the change we've been waiting for. Cloning won't do it, but trusting the group intellect will. Visit CWSC.us and register in the Model Communities National Resource Directory today, because together we can remake the world.
Community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com.
online at gmail.com or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Fill the void.
Read the Muslim Journal.
Bringing humanity together.
It's news with truth.
It's journalism with understanding.
Each week, Muslim Journal features the latest headline stories. Get a fresh perspective on American politics with informative editorials on the news and stories that affect you and your community the most. Muslim Journal also features exciting reports from around the globe. Subscribe to the Muslim Journal and stay informed about the world we live in today.
See the full picture.
Subscribe to the Muslim Journal today.
And we thank you, dear listening audience, for being here with us on American Muslim 360 broadcast. You're able to listen 24 hours a day by dialing 701-719-4197. That's American Muslim 360. You can go to am360.org or cwsc.us. And please browse through the intelligentsia there presented, the MCNRD, the Model Community National Resource Directory, internship, scholarships, and much, much more. And read the featured articles on the Community-Wide Shura Conference website. And go to Facebook and like us on Facebook. We're here to serve you, the community at large. Thank you for being an avid listener for American Muslim 360 broadcast. As we have presenters 7 days a week, starting on Sunday with Imam Nazim Pasha, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. with Al-Islam-based conversation. And then from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, faith and financial literacy, followed by an upcoming will be from 3 to 5 p.m., community ta'lim with Imam Taqi Malik. Look forward to his presentation. That's community ta'lim on Sundays from 3 to 5 p.m., Eastern Standard Time, followed by 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., Kalima Abdul Rashid with Muslima Reality. What's your reality? That's Kalima Abdul Rashid and her co-host, Debbie Shankman. Then 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., Imam Dr. Askil Muhammad, as he dialogues, yes, in behalf of Interfaith, he and his guests bring to the audience Interfaith Dialogue. Following that, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., Quran Shakir. Principal Quran Shakir presents The Power of Educating Our Own. And last but not least, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Imam Hamim Habib, every fourth Sunday, presents Towards a Model Community. On the first, second, and third Sundays, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., the reading of a good book. Perhaps your book will be featured on Reading of a Good Book. Then Monday morning, retro of Thomas Abdul Salam, the first executive director of American Muslim 360 and of the Community-Wide Shura Conference. We present the presentations hosted right here on American Muslim 360 broadcast. 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Pearls of Women Monday, now featuring the voices and the presentations of the female voices here on American Muslim 360. The retro and perhaps some live presentations featuring definitely Niamat Shahid. And following that, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Imam Dr. Abdel J. Nuruddin with your holistic health. And that takes us to Monday evening, 7 p.m., Aziz with My Ali Kuli Hal, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Bilal and America Project with none other than your host, Zaid Ahmed Khan. Tuesday morning, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., the best of the best from the archives of American Muslim 360, followed by the three-hour presentation, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., Healing and Harmony for Humankind with Mother Sister Dr. Baiza Muhammad. And then on Tuesday evening, Courtship and Marriage with Mark Shahid and Munira Habil. Thank you for listening. That's 7 p.m. to 9 p.m.